Welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've had great blessing and great privilege this morning, and we appreciate the talents of our brother to provide music this morning for us, and the Lord appreciates our talent offerings to Him. We have another privilege this morning, a great privilege, to have our brother Aaron and sister Sue with us this morning. And I know and believe that our brother has thought and prayed about being here this morning. I know that of him. And take serious his work, the work in the gospel. I know the Lord has used him many times. And I know that he was used in visiting us. We still lived up in Gaylord. I was not even in the ministry at that time. Still studying and this and that. But appreciated nonetheless. And I ask an interest in your prayers for our brother as he stands before us to speak the words of life. Not only life, the words that will be beneficial in this life temporarily to help us to endure, but life everlasting, most importantly. And so I'm not going to take any more of my brother's time and introduce our brother in Christ, Elder Aaron Heath.
Thank you, Brother Adam, for that wonderful introduction and for your prayers. And thank you, Brother Chris, wherever you are. He left the building. And his wonderful family for being here this morning. I do need your prayers because, and I thank our Heavenly Father. Sue and I have been blessed so very much. I look around and just like yesterday was at home and I looked around our house and thought about the different things that's happened in our lives and everything and I went over to Sue and I said, you know, we are so blessed. So blessed. I said, we have a nice house, all these different things to help us with things. Of course, we've had bad times, but the Lord has seen us through every single one of them. He's blessed us so many times I can't even count. And it is such a privilege that our Heavenly Father would allow me, a sinner, to stand behind this sacred desk. I do not take this lightly. And I thank Him for His strength that He allows me to have, that I can move about and I can make decisions on my own and do the things, hopefully, that would seal my spot in everlasting life after this life is over. We got a call early this morning from Brother Lowell Scott saying that he wasn't going to be able to make it because of his wife. And Sister Marie DeVries, her son called me yesterday and said that she wouldn't be able to make it because she had taken a turn for the worse. And Sister Bernice, she hasn't been well and hasn't been able to come. So that would leave about three or four of us. So I called my sister and said, well, we'll just call services off today. And next week we'll have our sacrament, hopefully. But I would like us to think about the times that we're living in. And I was at getting my car fixed a while back here, and I was sitting there reading while I was waiting, and I picked up this Time magazine, and it caught my eye. It said the 50 best inventions of the year. And I'm going to turn in here to some things, and I'm not going to read all of them, of course, and I'm just going to read a couple here that's interesting, because Sue and I was talking about week before last, I think it was, and I said, you know, they still, with all the technology and everything else, they still haven't come up with a cure for the common cold. And so I opened this up, and this first one, it says less than 10 nanometers, or one molecule. We thought it couldn't be done. But scientists at MIT are developing a drug that may cure the common cold. It says it's called double-stranded RNA activated caspase oligomerizer, or DRACO. I like that word better. I can pronounce it. DRACO. And it fights viruses as effectively as antibiotics fight bacteria. DRACO is a genetically engineered molecule designed to trigger suicide in cells that have been invaded by a virus. In lab tests, it was effective against 15 viruses, including rhinovirus, which causes colds, H1N1, influenza, dengue fever, and poliovirus. So isn't that something? This magazine's from November 28, 2011, what, 2-3 months ago. And like I said, they're coming up with all these different things. And it's unbelievable to me all the things that they have come up with, you know, and the things are continuing. And the second one I want to read is, says the 3D chip. It says 22 nanometers. A technology revolution occurred this year, and almost nobody outside the high-tech world noticed. In May, Intel demonstrated what it's calling a tri-gate transistor, a three-dimensional transistor in which electrons flow not just in a flat channel, but along three sides of a raised pin. Why should you care? Because next year, when Intel ships its first chips based on the new 3D transistor, they'll perform about 37% better and use about half the power. Another victory for Moore's Law. And it's amazing, you know, all the things that the man thinks that he has come up with. And just when you think, you know, what else will they come up with? But I'd like to bring us back to the basics. And I'm going to go into the scriptures, into Ecclesiastes. And the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I'm going to read from verse 1 through 18. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? It's a question that he's asking everyone. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again, according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And now this is the important part. It says, and there is no new thing under the sun. There is no new thing under the sun. Now, why would he say that? It's because it's new unto us, yeah, but not to God, not our Heavenly Father. It's always been there. And we'll find that out in these scriptures. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us, before any of us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart hath great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. He poured his whole life into trying to learn more and more and more about all the different things. Trying to learn more and be smarter than any of the ones that come before him and everything else, trying to figure out things. And then the last verse of that chapter says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You know, sometimes it's good, but sometimes we gain more knowledge, and like it says here, with that is much sorrow. We have so many things to learn, the children of men, because sometimes we get involved with the things around us in this world. We said, if this could only happen, or if that could only happen, or, Lord, if you can just help me through this, I'll change. I'll do this or I'll do that. There was much vexation of spirit when Tony went with me the other day. But I endured. I endured. I have a little bit of work to do on him yet. He's going to have to dial it down a little bit. A little too wild for me still yet. But I'll, with the Lord's help, I'll endure. I love him so much. I love all of you so much. We need to concentrate, and it's hard, but we have to concentrate on the scriptures, on the Lord. Why we're here. Each one of us has a reason. He put us here for a reason. I want to go to the third chapter for a moment and just read verse 1 first. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This is still that preacher talking. And he found that out because of the things that he invested in his time and learning to know these things. And he's trying to tell others regarding these things. And then you go down to verse 11. It says, and he hath made everything beautiful in his time, in God's time, not our time, but in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You can study your whole life and not find out the totalness of God. He's the creator of all things. Not just a portion. He's the one that created everything in the beginning. We have not created anything. We have placed in our minds things that lead us and direct us to do things and to find these things. But they were already there. They were already there. We can take credit of thinking of that so it can be brought before others. But God is the Creator. He has done it all. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And that's what we're trying to do, is to do good, what is good before our Heavenly Father. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Why? It says it is the gift of God for us to labor. And it tells in other scriptures that we must labor in this world. We have to work for a living. Not to be lazy, but we must work for a living. And in this, we should take joy in that labor, because it is a gift of God. He gives that to us. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. And you know, there's some men that think they're so wise in their own ideas and everything. Well, I did this. Puff their chest up. You know, I did this. I'm way smarter than that person over there. God gave him that ability. And if he doesn't recognize that and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have given me, that person is in trouble. Because he is going to bow down before his Heavenly Father, the Creator of all. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? He's asking that question. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? He does expect us. He's placed us here for a reason. And whatever those things are in each of our lives, when we stand before Him, we're going to have to justify whether we did that part, whether we did our portion that He's given us, and did we rejoice in it? Was it good things or was it bad things? All these things, our Heavenly Father sees all these different things that are happening. Let's go to the fifth chapter and verse 18 through 20. Says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. There again, he's reemphasizing that. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Again, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Now I want to go to the seventh chapter and just read one verse there, verse 20. It's the last verse. No, verse 20. Okay. says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." We need to remember that. We're placed in a sinful world, and we are not perfect. We will not be perfect until our Heavenly Father forgives us and we stand before Him. Because we will stand before Him as a sinner. But we'll try and do the best that we can, because that is our portion that He's given us. In chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, says, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." I just want to stop there. We do not know what the next moment will bring for any of us. I could have a heart attack right now. We don't know what's going to happen in the next moment of our life. So we have to adjust ourselves to do the things that God wants us to do. Otherwise, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." If we don't recognize that, we're in a lot of trouble. "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath." Verses 9 and 10. "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, and for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." In other words, make sure that you do the work that is intended for you to do, and do it with all thy might. Do it to the best of your ability. That's all he's asking of us. And in verse 12 it says, "For man also knoweth not his time." We don't know when we're going to be taken. "As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." In the 10th chapter, verse 18, says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." And it's the same with his gospel. If the church does not do the missionary work that they've been called to do in these last days, it won't get done. It won't get done. I pray every day for the work of this gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that it will be brought forth to others so they might hear. Pray for their families, that they're going away for long periods of time, and the things that they have to endure, and there's just so many things. Chapter 11, verse 5, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." We can't comprehend creation like God does. We don't have that ability. 12:7 chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. We're only allotted a certain portion of time. We need to use it wisely. I want to go back to the magazine again and read something else here. You're lucky, this is going to be a short sermon today. And this is something very important to our brothers and sisters in Africa. It says the malaria vaccine. 2 centimeters, or 1 vial. One of the deadliest diseases in the developing world, malaria kills about 780,000 people every year. Every year. We've heard about it. You know, our brothers and sisters in Africa, all these different places. But after 24 years of research, Joe Cohen, a scientist at, I can't pronounce it, and his team have found a malaria vaccine candidate, RTS-S, or more familiarly, Musquirix. Sorry, I'm not good at reading some of these words. Is still in its trial stages, but so far it's showing great success. The phase 3 efficiency trial, taking place in 7 African countries, is cutting the chances of children contracting malaria in half. In half. If the trials continue at this rate, this Musquirix could hit the market as soon as 2015. 2015. See, that's the good things, you know. We see these things happening and we know that these things are there. And there's different ones put in a position to find these things. We're more finders than we are anything else. And there's a new show on TV, it's called The Finder or something like that. It's kind of a neat little show. I don't like some of the stuff that's on it, of course, but this guy supposedly can find anything or anybody, and he does. But that's what we need to be. We need to be finders. Finders of the things that we're supposed to be doing. Finding the things that will help others. You know, it doesn't matter if you just help somebody with a bag of groceries, helping them get it into the car, an elderly person like myself. But all these things, you know, Tony never opened the door for me one time. Just a side fall thing. But we need to be that finder. Finder of our God and His true church. And if we find in the scriptures, we read these things, and you know, I had no desire to be in the priesthood. I told you that before, but when God does things, and I've mentioned before about asking for 3 things, I said, well, if I am supposed to be called, which I don't care if I am or not, to be a minister, and then when the call happened, you know, I said, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to pray about it. As soon as I started praying about it, I remembered I asked for 3 things, and there was the 3 things. He answered everything. Of course, then you question, well, how am I going to do this? Go from sitting out there to standing up here. Just like that. It's a big step. Of course, I didn't feel worthy. And I thought, well, who am I? When God gave me those things, who am I to tell God no? If he can do that, he can give me what I need to accomplish that. And it's only because of that that I'm standing before you today. That's the only reason. Because without his strength, just another person, you know. Each of us have different things, and they're each so very important. So very important. I want to go to the Book of Mormon. It's on page 638. Third Nephi, the fifth chapter. Just want to read verse 92 down at the bottom there. It says, "Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore I would that ye should be perfect even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And you know, I spoke about that last week in a message at our local. We always have to strive for that. We're not going to become perfect, but we have to strive for that. And as I had listed last week of all the things that would keep us away from our Heavenly Father, all the different things of the world, the seven deadly sins that we know about, and all these things in the Scriptures that the lust of the flesh, all these different things. There's so many different things that keep us from our Heavenly Father, becoming closer to Him. But then, of course, there's all the good things. All the good things that should allow us or help us to strive for that perfection. And like I say, we're not going to become perfect, but we need to stay on track and we need to strive for that. Because he tells us that. He says, old things are done away, and all things will become new, have become new. Be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We have to do those things that help us, that keep us from apart from the adversary. We need to focus on our journey through this life. I need to go back to Ecclesiastes for a moment. The 12th chapter. Just going to read verses 13 and 14, the last two verses of chapter 12. So just let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that's what we have to remember. We have to put ourselves in a position that when we stand before our Heavenly Father, that we can justify those things that we have done in our lifetime, and that we have strived for that perfection to do His will always. Not just once or twice, or I've been good 50% of the time or 75% of the time. But that we stay on track 100%, which is not attainable, of course, but we can try. So I thank you for your time this morning.